So what questions about mental health care in the military are raised by the second Fort Hood shooting? Even Lopez, the 34-year-old Army truck driver who killed three soldiers and wounded 16 others at the huge Army base before killing himself, was being treated for depression and anxiety. This was not a case of someone who had fallen through the cracks and wasn't getting mental health care. Let's bring in Derek Bennett. He's Chief of Staff for Iraq and Afghanistan Veterans of America. He's also a former Army captain who served two tours in Iraq. He's at the NPR studios in New York. So, Derek, Lopez was being treated. What are you hearing from your people?
I think that this is an important beginning of a conversation. There are a group of folks in this community, which is incredibly tight-knit, who are under treatment, under therapy for depression or PTSD. Some of them are getting the care that they need, as in it sounds like in this case, although I don't know all the details. But unfortunately, there's a whole other group, up to a third based on the VA's own estimation, that have been diagnosed with PTSD and are not even getting in to see the clinician within the VA's window of appropriate amount of time, which is unfortunately 14 days, which sounds like a really long time if you're battling depression.
Yeah. So we've got two separate issues that you're concerned about here. And we're reminded, by the way, that Nidal Hassan, the 2009 shooter, was a psychiatrist. So it's not as if some of these stories are from that second file that you mentioned of the people who are completely outside the mental health picture at in the military and can't get in. These are people who were very much inside. So stay with that for just a second. We were hearing stories last week about people at Fort Hood who had been diagnosed, who needed help, but were going to cafes off the base because they felt that they were more likely to get what they needed there, even though they'd been recognized as having problems. Talk about, you know, is it an overtaxed system? Talk about the problems with the system that already exists, not getting into it, but once you're already in it.
I think that by and large, it is an overtaxed system. If we look over the last decade of these wars in Iraq and Afghanistan, the one constant refrain has been that the country is dramatically unprepared for the real costs of these wars. And one of the ways in which we're unprepared is providing the services to both active duty and veteran service members who fought for our country. If you look at just the VA's part of the system, which is after you've transitioned from the DOD, there's over 1,000 open positions already funded, but they can't find the psychiatrists and psychologists to take these positions to help serve the folks. So that's part of the problem, completely overtaxed. I think that we're not prepared and are not doing a very good job of keeping track of what programs on an evidence-based metric actually are helping our vets and our warriors. And so what is left is we're going to try our best, but that unfortunately is a real shot in the dark right now.
Well, and we should rush to say that in any population as large as Fort Hood, which is a city, there are going to be people that no amount of help can help. So we know that. But we also know that Specialist Lopez was arguing with the Army about his benefits. Now, people are going to be parsing this, the Lopez case, for a long time, trying to figure out what a trigger might have been. But step outside that case. How do you see that affecting people in the military, that they do often have to fight to get their benefits?
Last year, we were talking about the VA benefits backlog, which luckily now is down 40% from where it was at a peak a year ago today. Unfortunately, that still means there are hundreds of thousands of folks that are fighting to get their benefits after having served, trying to get their financial support that they need based on the services they provided their country. I think that's obviously a financial and economic, a financial and emotional stress that's pushed on our service members. We have a project called The Weight We Carry, which you can see at theweightwecarry.org, which is a self-selected group of people who tell us about the amount of time they've been waiting to get their benefits. And while they've been waiting, they tell us the emotional and financial impact that that's had. Certainly, you know, regardless of whether you're a veteran or not, that if you are placed in a position of real financial stress, that's not going to be helpful for anyone's mental health.
Yeah. What is your group thinking overall about what's happened at Fort Hood? Second time, we know that you already are very much thinking about military suicide, an estimated 22 vets a day. Recently, you planted 2,000 flags on the National Mall to call attention to this. But what are you thinking about how this two shootings at one base, how this might ripple out through the military?
I think if nothing else, it is forcing a conversation in this country about mental health care and the fact that mental health care should be on parity with physical health care. Certainly, if we start screening more carefully, I think we'll be on a better path.
This terrible day at Fort Hood, it was a shooting, a terrible shooting, but it was also a suicide. And yes. I just, you know, as a you know, a former service member, how do you approach that? Your whole thing is about having compassion and sympathy for the troops that take their own lives, but here's one who took others with him.
I think it's a tragedy what happened in Fort Hood. I think that what we have to separate this particular incident and those incidences where there is suicide by cop and other things where innocent bystanders are dragged into the problem, and focus on how do we provide the maximum amount of quality care for every individual. You know, it's not uncommon to hear from vets who drive around with a weapon in their truck in the hope, or car or whatever, in the hopes that because things have gotten so bad and they're not ready to do it themselves, but in the hopes that they get pulled over and they can do something like suicide by cop. Luckily, we hear from those folks and we get them into programs and we get them on the Veterans Crisis Line, et cetera, that is helpful. But yeah.
Yeah. Derek Bennett, Chief of Staff for Iraq and Afghan Veterans of America. Thanks so much for speaking with us.
Thank you, Robin.